I might like to read a word from Matthew 3. Matthew 3, right from the beginning. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, "We have Abraham to our father." For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is a wonderful and glorious word of God. It is the word, you might say, that passes from the old covenant into the new covenant. John came, and he was the forerunner, not by himself, but we read it as God ordained it. He came as ordained by God, foretold by the prophets, that he would come, that he would be a forerunner. It was him. God bore witness in advance. And here we see that the time had come, and we see that when God does something, something happens. Then something happens. He came, extraordinary, not like all the others perhaps, but extraordinary. We read about him. He went into the wilderness, girded with a leather girdle, and his raiment of camel's hair, and his food was locusts, and so forth. But we see, it was something else. His words caused people to go out of the city and go into the wilderness. to hear what is to be heard there. And we know there was not something to hear that a man had to say, but there was something to hear that God had to say. Maybe the time had not yet come for God to say something in the city, but he came and went into the wilderness, and in the wilderness he cried. There, where no one could say, "Here he has come to poach members. Here he has come to destroy our church and our temple, to poach or this or that." He came into the wilderness. And we see people going out. What was it? Who took them out there? It was something in them. It was something that drew them there. I think there were certainly better places where they could have gone than into the wilderness. But they did go there, and I think they had to take a lot of risks when they went into the wilderness. We know, or maybe we don't know, but in a desert, there's rarely water. There is a lot of sand, and a lot of heat, and a lot of dust, and lots of sunshine, almost no rain, and maybe no shadow. But they went out. They put up with it. Why? We know that when God starts something, something is started. And people have been drawn. They went into the desert to hear something their hearts longed for. Their longing was for something. Yes, and I would like to say that indeed something was given to them there. Something they did not hear every day. Something that was perhaps not pleasant to hear. For this man didn't wear velvet gloves and spoke nice words, but he used very rough words, very harsh words. And we see, what did he say? He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Those were his words. Oh, that must have been something quite powerful. And I think they will all have felt convicted. And it says, they confessed their sins and they were baptized. Because that's how he proclaimed it. And they believed his proclamation. They believed. You know, the other thing that has become great to me is that the Pharisees and the Sadducees may have become afraid. And maybe they thought, what's going on now? The people are all going there. Maybe there's something there where we can maybe stop something. And so let's also go. Like maybe we also pretend to accept that. But then maybe still continue our ways and our services and continue like we've been doing until now. And that we keep the people nice to us again. But I want to say something. This became so great to me. Here was a man full of the Holy Spirit. He recognized their motives. He knew their intentions. He recognized their thoughts from afar. And he knew what they were up to. And you know, this form of address, the way he addressed them here, was really not fine, but very hard. He says, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you?" That's how it is written. Generation of vipers, Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? You know, he threatened them with a judgment. Not mercy, judgment. He says, who gave you the idea of escaping the judgment of God? Yes, it wasn't that easy. He said, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He saw through their hearts. He knew what was going on in them. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. You know, this tactic, I think we read it last week. They didn't leave it. They used it even after the Lord himself had appeared. Even then, I think we read it in John 8, if I'm right. They also said, we are Abraham's seed. But here, the man of God comes to meet them, and he tells them straight away, as if he had read their thoughts, and could tell them in advance, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Oh, you know, the Spirit of God struck them on the spot. He knew right away who he was dealing with. You know, and then it says, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. That's it. In other words, he doesn't need you at all. Go on like this. Go on doing what you have been doing up to now. God does not need you. God is able to raise up children from these stones. Isn't that powerful? I don't know, brothers and sisters, how they must have felt. But on the other hand, we see they came to the Lord, and we read it in the Gospel of John, that he also came with a word. And John also refers to the Lord here. He says, I baptize you with water, but when he comes, he will baptize you with spirit and with fire. He even says, I am not worthy to bear his shoes. Oh, how does it say here? Yes, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I am not even worthy to do that. That's how he humbled himself and how he exalted the Lord. In other words, he then said, but what is wrong with you? What is the matter with you? Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. And you know, it looks like as if the word that was said here had nothing to say to them at all, because we see it when they came to the Lord, how they boasted, how they appeared and said, we know where he comes from, but we have Abraham as our father. We are Abraham's seed. Yes, that's how it looks like. Dear brothers and sisters, we see for the true believers, for those who really had the desire in their hearts, they came and they really consecrated themselves to the Lord. They confessed their sins. Perhaps John did not even need to tell them. Perhaps even simple words were enough for them. And I would like to say that this is indeed the case. You know, when someone is ordained by God, then perhaps God no longer needs to speak like that. But those who are rebellious, who think they are something and could perhaps be something, you know, God says something quite different to them. That is how we see it here, through the word of our Lord. I am so grateful, brothers and sisters, that the Lord had so wonderfully began in that way, in those days, and has so wonderfully made known these glorious things to His people. And perhaps it was new to all those who came into the wilderness. Now something completely new had happened, and they could have said, "We have never experienced anything like this before." They were baptized with water. They had to repent. And then the other thing with the Lord, something new had happened, something very special that they did not know before. We also see a Nicodemus. He had to say, "What is all this? We don't know what all this means. To be born again, how is all this supposed to happen? It was not possible for the wise, for the learned, and they could not understand it. But for those who had to understand it, for them it was something precious, and they were able to understand it. And it's the same in our days. I had to think about it. The Lord is so faithful. He is so wonderful. In this context, I have to mention our dear brother Branham. You know, he was also ordained in the same way as John here by God at the time he had to come. He had to come. He had to speak the words of God. And so we read it. Also our dear brother Branham, he had to come. And when you think about it, you could say it would have to be a completely pure family. And he would have to be from immaculate parents, from completely pure people. And if you read his life story, I just read it the other day. He said, "Nobody wanted to talk to me because of my parents, because of my relatives. They were people of bad reputation. Everyone kept distance. But God chose them." And he says, "Today so many people want something from me." And even more, there we see the angel of the Lord. He came down and he says, "As I sent John to forerun my first coming with a message, so you are sent with a message to forerun my second coming." Isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, what is it? I want to say, nobody should find it difficult to come out of everything. We see that those did not find it difficult. They went into the wilderness. And I think also for us and also for the true believers, it will not be difficult to leave everything and to go out to hear what God has to say. Oh, I thought, how wonderful. God has remained the same. In the same way, He speaks in our days. He has made Himself known to you and me. And I was thinking, I was allowed to go out and go into the wilderness. And I was allowed to hear many things there in the wilderness that God has to say to me. In the city, in the denominations, organizations, I might only have heard what people had to say to me. But there, I can hear what God has to say to me. And you too, you have to hear what God has to say to you. And so, we are happy and grateful, even if we have perhaps left everything else behind. Some have left behind families, relatives, friends. Why? For the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the call, for He has called, brothers and sisters, even in these days. And we are so happy and so grateful that we were allowed to come. You know, with God, nothing is impossible. That's how we heard it. Those who don't want, don't need. God is able to raise children from the stones. And I would like to say something else. Maybe people even boast in our days and say, we also have the message. We. Yes, we are. And raise their heads very high. You know, we don't need to lift our heads at all, but we can walk along humbly, and we can only thank God that this call has hit us and that we were allowed to come by grace, not out of merit, out of grace. You know, perhaps many people are thinking these days, oh, we know more. Even the message, we are. Many may refer to that, brothers and sisters, but God looks at the heart. He knows each individual. In those days, He looked through these people who came there in the wilderness. He knew them all. He knows them today. Brothers and sisters, He knows each and everyone. He knows the situation of each one. He knows you, He knows me, He knows everybody. And nobody needs to boast about these or those things. You know, if we do that, then I think we are not there where we should be. If this John had so humbled himself and said, I'm not even worthy to bear his shoes, what shall we say to that? What shall we say, brothers and sisters? Oh, I think that brings us to sink into lowliness. And you know, the more we can humble ourselves, the more He can reveal Himself to us. The more He can glorify Himself in your life and in mine. Do we believe that? It's a fact. The more that we stand as nothing, you know, the more He can become in us. Brother Branham also used these words. I read them today in the seventh seal. He says, who am I? By grace I am what I am. I am a sinner saved by grace. He said, I was bad. I'm a human. And all of us, all of us are human, forgetful and weak. You know, this verse 12 is very wonderful. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. That's it. It's not a man that does it. It's him. It is not John. But here he speaks these words of Jesus. He who will come has the fan in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. Oh, how wonderful! Brothers and sisters, no one gets through. Let no one think, I will get there, and I can get away with this and that. No, when we come to the Lord, then everything must be in order. Everything must be under the cross. He will gather His wheat into His garner, but He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. This is the word of our God. We are so glad and so grateful for every word that we may read by grace. Now, brothers and sisters, I will take no more time. I still want to give my brother the opportunity to say what God has put on his heart. God bless you is my prayer in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We have already heard a sermon that went to our hearts. There is not much more to add. There are a few thoughts that come up again and again when it's written that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Then we know that everything God does is the fulfillment of the Scriptures. The whole New Testament And I don't just mean the four Gospels or the book of Acts and epistles, but the whole period of the New Testament is nothing but fulfillment of what God has said afore. All things must go as He wills. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, John sends to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord then gives the answer, and that is always the right answer when it comes from the mouth of the Lord. In Luke 7 it says, I don't want to read much, you all know the context, from verse 27. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. This word is in agreement with what we read from Matthew 3. And if we read all four Gospels, we have an overall view of what actually happened. God laid it in such a way that each of these evangelists was guided to write down what the Spirit of God gave him. And when we put that together, then we have an overall view of what happened. And we see that all of them, all the people who went out, even the tax collectors, complied with the will of God by being baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they did not come to hear with a sincere heart. They came to find something and then later inform the people that they did not have to go out. And as has been pointed out, it was or happened in the wilderness. Why did it happen in the wilderness? Because the Spirit of God spoke through the prophet Isaiah, a voice cries in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. If it had said, A voice cries in Jerusalem, it would have sounded in Jerusalem. If it had said in Jericho, it would have been in Jericho, but it says in the wilderness, Isaiah 40, 3-4. And thus it happened. So we see God's word fulfilled to the last point. And that is actually the certainty we are allowed to have as believers, that every word of God is absolute truth. When it says in Micah 5:5, You, Bethlehem, are the least of these, but out of thee shall come forth the one who is Lord in Israel. Then they knew exactly the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Everything the prophet said, God spoke through them. And the Lord speaks here and says, But what went ye out for to see? a man clothed in soft raiment. He says, they are in king's courts. Did you want to see a reed shaken with the wind? Brother Branham explains this. He says, with the Methodists, Baptists, limping on all sides, did you want to see such a man? No, such a man was not to be seen there. Not a man like a reed shaken by any wind, but a man sent from God with a message from God to the people of God. And all who were ordained for eternal life listened to the call that went out at that time. And I can picture so vividly the day when John said, the friend of the bridegroom heareth already the rejoicing of the bride. What was it? It was the beginning of the calling out of the bride for the bridegroom. It was the beginning of the New Testament, the transition, the bridge from the old to the new. John considered himself the friend of the bridegroom. And he said, he who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, he stands close by and hears the rejoicing of the bride. And then he says, this my joy is now fulfilled. So here we hear that John was sent, but we are now coming to our days. You know, you can talk about the days of Noah and Moses and all the days and see what happened then. And you know, if you read or translate Brother Branham's sermons a little bit more clearly now, you will notice that he puts the emphasis on the fact that nothing has changed at all, but everything repeats itself as it once was, so it is today. And he simply says in the sermon, yes, today you say, if I had lived at the time when Jesus was on earth, then I would have. He says, what you're doing today, you would have done then and nothing else. If you believe today, you would have believed then. If you don't believe today, you would not have believed then either. It is easy to say something with the mouth, but the heart must also join in. How wonderful to read. And all the people that heard him and the publicans justified God, being baptized with the baptism of John. It's an addition to that what we read in Matthew 3. For this is the one to whom the word of the prophet Isaiah refers, a voice cries in the wilderness. Well, from tomorrow we will be in the land of the Bible again for 14 days. We will be in the wilderness of Judea. We will be at the Jordan River. We will see all these places. And with God's help, we will give thanks for all that he has done. It's not the places, but you know, when you are standing on the Mount of Olives or you are at the Jordan River, I was very impressed to even see the beginning of the Jordan River, the way it comes out of a rock, out of a mountain with such force. It's just wonderful. John was at the River Jordan. He went into the wilderness, but he also went where there was water because he was supposed to baptize. God takes care of everything. Somebody once said to me, Brother Frank, is it enough to be baptized in the bathtub? I say, no, that's not enough. It takes more water. Here, how wonderful. John is brought to the River Jordan. Enough water to be properly immersed. Yes, that must all be. And then the psalm word, How glorious! When I think of it, I smile a little now, but in the vernacular they say, that's gallows humor. But not only that, but I believe and I know in whom I believe, and I also know what I believe. And if the whole world ends, what God has done remains eternal. Nobody can deny that anyway. But the thought that came to me when the psalm was read was this, that David, who had to go through so many hardships and difficulties, that he still found time to take his harp and sing his psalms. That's a thing I'll be sure to ask him when we meet in heaven. How was it possible in the old covenant that he could go through so many difficulties and hardships and still have a psalm in his heart? I don't think David was just singing with his lips. I believe that the Spirit of God wrote these psalms in David's heart. And that is why they are the Word of God. If they had come from thought, from the head, then they would have been David's words, and one would not need to consider them the Word of God. But God brought them about in the heart, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We know how moved his life was. And then it says here, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. David was a man who did not play hide and seek with his faith. He confessed God, and God confessed him. And yet, when you consider that he was spat on, that he had dirt thrown at him, this man who even cursed him there, he uttered curse words, and he went up the Mount of Olives, as if nothing was happening at all. And one who wanted to argue for him, he says to him, let him be, the Lord has so commanded him. And he went up his way, up to the top of the Mount of Olives, and there he wept. And then when we hear Brother Branham's sermon, he says, how many hundred years later the Son of David was on the same spot on the Mount of Olives, rejected by his own people, looking over Jerusalem and saying, how often have I wanted to gather you as a hen wants to gather her chicks, but you have not wanted. But now the hour of judgment is coming upon you. And our Lord wept on the Mount of Olives, in the same place where David was. He was called the Son of David. I wonder if any of us would have named the Savior of the world after David. Whether any of us and all the theologians of the world would have dared to name the Messiah, the God in human form, after David, as the Son of David, I would like to doubt it. But as we have already heard, God does wonderful things that go beyond your and my understanding. There come to John the scholars who are without sin, who have nothing, and they go away with a proclamation of judgment. They have to leave, and the publicans come and beat their chest and march into the water. And I don't think that John had baptismal robes or changing facilities. They walked in as they were, but they walked out differently. Yes, sir, they walked out differently. The word had hit them, and through this obedience that they rendered, the blessing of God rested upon them. And then the glorious promise that John made, I baptize you with water unto repentance. A man can baptize in water, but in the Holy Spirit only God can baptize. And then he says, He who comes after me is greater than I. In another place it says, the one who was before me and is greater than I, whom I am not worthy to bear his shoes. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And that made me think of the song, Holy Anointing, Rest Upon Me, Divine Comforter, Guide All My Doings. And it is our desire and our endeavor to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that God may come into His own, that we not only preach of salvation, but that the Savior may be present to save sinners, and that we not only preach healing, but that the healer can be present to perform the healing, that the gospel can become a reality by grace. And you know, when we emphasize this here, everyone will be able to testify for themselves how and where they have experienced God. But I think that if the Lord is to make a beginning, then it must be a biblical beginning. We have all had experiences with God, and no one can deny that. I will never forget my trip to Hamburg back then, 30 years ago, exactly 30 years ago, at Pentecost. You had to go by bike from here to Hamburg. Yes, sir, from here to Hamburg, via Kassel, through the Harz, up to the mountains and beyond Hamburg. And I still remember Bach Street and the cellar where we prayed into the night. And I still remember today on Bach Street in Hamburg around midnight when the Holy Spirit also came upon me, and not only on me, but came into me. And when the Holy Anointing was simply there, you know the hour, you know the day. It was not only Pentecost in the calendar, it was Pentecost in my heart. It has to be. There is no other way. And I was quite amazed. Yesterday I read an article by a churchman, and this churchman wrote the following article. I have it on my desk. And he says in it, we have to start to apply biblical criteria. And he says, we have measured the Pentecostal testimony by prejudice for so long. Now we must apply the testimony of the Bible and must make our judgment according to it. You know, it just has to come to that, that we let the Bible speak in all things. And when that happens, God will come to His right by grace. I only have one wish, that He, how I don't know, but that He completes His church unto the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ. And when we see that all things are really coming to an end, and as Brother Brim says, will collapse, and everything will be like an asylum on earth, we all know that the more things happen, the nearer is the return of the Lord. And suddenly the day will come, and the trumpet will sound, and those who are asleep in Christ will rise first, and then we will be changed and lifted up together into glory. Gently lifted up. I have never known how to picture it. Today I know what it will be like. Today I know how it will be. It is something glorious. God is not in a hurry, and the rapture will not be like a rocket, but carry it gloriously and sweetly, something wonderful to watch and witness. Here it goes on to say, blessed be the Lord, for He has showed me His marvelous kindness in a strong city. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. We take refuge in it and remain protected. Blessed be the Lord, For he has showed me his marvelous kindness. Can't we all say the same tonight? Blessed be the Lord, who has shown me his grace so wonderfully, and he will show it to us until the end. The difference is simply that if men had chosen us, then men could do as was done to Saul. You all know, Saul, that was not God's choice. David was chosen by God. Saul was because of the demand of men. People came to Samuel and said, "Listen, your sons are not following in your footsteps," and so on. "We need a man who is over us," and they got him. But God's choice was different. God has not yet sent away a single one whom he has chosen. If he has sent anyone away, it has been one whom people have chosen, or who have put themselves in some place or position. But all those whom the Lord has chosen, and if you read the story of the calling of the 12 disciples, find me the place where Judas was verbally called by the Lord. He was just there, but show me the place. I can show you where he called Matthew, James, Peter, and all of them. You can read all about it. Yes, sir. We have to read God's word correctly when we read, and then we know where we stand. Forgive me if I quote Brother Branham again. He said, "If God saves you today, only to lose you tomorrow, then he didn't know what he did yesterday." And so it is. God does not save us today to lose us tomorrow. God saved us to be eternally his own. He has pardoned us forever, and his grace shall not depart from us. So says the prophet. And the covenant of peace which he has made shall not fall away. May mountains depart and hills fall, but my grace shall not depart from thee. Already in the Old Testament, the prophets prophesied of the grace that has come upon us in the New Testament. How grateful we can be. They prophesied of grace. We may experience grace. How grateful we can be. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Before I leave here, I would like to wish our beloved Brother Schmidt God's blessing for these 14 days in which we are so partly away, and all the brothers that you serve here, and that God blesses you. We will remember you, and you will remember us. The Lord bless you all and be with you all. Amen. Let us rise for the closing prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for your mighty word. Lord, you always have something to say to us through your word. It is not out of date, Lord. No, it is new every day. And so we are glad for your mighty word. Lord, we know all that your holy mouth has spoken, that will be fulfilled in its time. Thanks be to you for it. Lord, now we ask you to be with those who depart, O God, and to be with those who remain. Savior, let your hands be spread over us. May you bless everyone, O God. Lord, this is our desire, our prayer, that we may be blessed by you in all places, everywhere we may go, whether it's at the workplace or wherever it is. O Lord, bless all your people, everywhere, Lord, in all lands, is our desire and our prayer. Lord, you will not disappoint anyone. You will bless them all for your holy name's sake. Be praised, be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.